On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we talked to UFC fighter and diehard Raiders fan Cub Swanson. He talked about getting sent home from school in first grade for wearing Raiders gear, talked about Conor McGregor and getting some shout-outs. The Windbags also talk about how to fix the Raiders' pass rush. Phillip Rivers was the adorable rival that we love to hate. And how in the world will the Hall of Fame do Tom Flores' hair justice? We get into all of that. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Nirvana CBD at nirvanacbd.com. Use promo code AW20 for 20% off. Nirvana CBD, find your state of natural relaxation. And of course, we very much appreciate you subscribing, rating, and commenting whatever platform you are using to listen on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your Windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. All right, another edition of the Autumn Windbags. I'm still in Abu Dhabi working at Fight Island, obviously, with Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier coming up this Saturday in the UFC pay-per-view. So I'll be working that show. But I'm the one that's actually in the better situation. Poor Johnny Soto got the Rona.
I did.
You did. You diseased, sick little boy. I'm saying that from a guy who had it.
Sack of just diseased bacteria and infection. You know what?
Don't luckily cough into the microphone. I might get the disease again. That's how
I'm
it
knocking
works, right?
I'm knocking if I'm with you guys because I feel all right.
Good.
I get tested every week. You know, I do my best to take precautions, but I still get tested every week. And I started feeling a little, I tested yesterday. I started feeling a little bit nasally. And I just chalked it up to the fact that, hey, you know, there's a lot of, it was a lot of high winds here in Southern California. And mm-hmm. I usually get a little bit of an allergy issue. And it just, that's what it felt like, allergies. And this morning I got up and popped a little piece of tri-tip in my mouth and my tongue felt like rubber. It felt real fat. And I was like, ah, oh, great. That's not a good sign, but I could still taste, you know, Tapatio. I tasted that. It tasted hot. I put salt on my tongue. I could taste the salt. I could smell Febreze. All right. Well, maybe it's not that. Maybe I just have a cold or something. And then no, later on in the day, yeah, I got the results back from my test and I'm COVID positive. So I'm going to just hunker down here and not see anybody for 2 weeks, which is, I mean, whatever.
What you should do is you should fly to Kansas City and then sneak into Arrowhead Stadium and just start licking doorknobs. Biological warfare.
That sounds like a lot of work, man.
Yeah. Well, if you were a true Raider fan, we'd use you as a weapon like you're supposed to.
I am a weapon. So, I mean, yeah, if it's needed. One. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I hope you feel better, dude. I got it like in October and I got it really mild. I had like a fever for like 4 days. I can still smell and taste everything. No breathing issues, whatever. But you'll be fine. It seems like kind of a waste that you waited all the way until 2021 to get it. You know what I mean? Like you did all these precautions all of 2020 and then bam, at the end, like you wait till forever. Once the vaccine comes out, you go ahead and get it. Terrible timing, Soto. You should have done it better.
Idiot. My fucking body. I don't know. It's letting me down right now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of letdowns, you wanted to really get into the Raiders pass rush today episode 10 of the Autumn Windbags because it's been atrocious. Absolutely terrible. Max Crosby, obviously his rookie year last season gave us a glimpse of something awesome. He was still the leading pass rusher for the Raiders, even though he only had about half as many sacks. Farrell improved a little bit, but he didn't, you know, he's still not living up to his fourth overall draft pick. The Raiders picked up a ton of free agents to try to help on the edge. No one's really delivered all that well. Obviously, especially with Gus Bradley coming as defensive coordinator, that's the cornerstone of his defense, is he needs to be able to disrupt and get pressure with just four down linemen so they can play that cover three, not blitz under, you know, underneath zones, et cetera. I mean, the only other thing that maybe could be a bigger position that we need to fill this offseason is like a really good free safety. But I mean, our offense, our defense is going to live and die by the quality of our pass rush. And they did more dying than living the last couple seasons.
Yeah, it's been rough, man. It's been a rough go. I mean, even Arden Key, that was his thing coming out of colleges. He was just, I mean, that's why he wasn't picked up early, sooner than he was when he was drafted, because he was just a pass rush specialist, right? Mm-hmm. And even he can't get home, man. It's tough. It's tough out there. You know, like I had this thought just pop into my head a couple nights ago. I'm thinking, you know what? You know, Cardi B, right? Cardi B.
How can I know?
I might have heard of her. You heard of her. So we have really huge nipples. We have a defensive coordinator. He's Gussie B.
Okay.
And I'm thinking the Raiders have a WAP. They have a weak ass pass rush.
Oh, okay. I thought it stood for something else, but I'm glad you clarified for me what WAP stands for.
In Raider Nation, it stands for weak ass pass rush. Mm-hmm. That's what we have. And I don't see anything turning around anytime soon. I think if we can get a 1-2 year rental on a pass rusher, a proven pass rusher, I would overpay for that, because I think it would really help the rest of the defense.
Yeah. I mean, and pass rushers aren't going to be cheap. I mean, because that's the thing, is every team needs them. Every team needs depth. In 2021 NFL, it's the most important defensive position, right? It's protect the quarterback, get after the quarterback. Right?
Protect him, get him. Yeah.
That's what everyone wants to do in the NFL these days. So, it's going to have to be like a different allocation of resources. Like, instead of just picking up just random cast-offs that you're hoping can just resurrect their, like, just put on the silver and black and all of a sudden like they're Superman again.
No, we need a guy.
It's time, you know, like, and there's free agents out there. They're not going to be cheap, right? Like, you brought up Leonard Williams last week, and like,
kid's a stud.
He's a stud, and he's going to need a king's ransom to get him. But I think that's what you got to do, right? I mean,
I saw him play his entire career at SC, mm-hmm. and that kid was unblockable at SC. He went to the Jets, and I don't know anyone who plays well when they're with the Jets. He goes to the Giants, and the kid just starts kicking the shit out of everyone. I like him, man. I liked him coming out of college. He's a real humble dude, hardworking guy. I'm pounding the table. If I had to say, which I don't, I mean, Leonard Williams is a good get for me. He's young still. He was young coming out. I think he was still 20 when he got drafted. He was a young player. And he can really be one of those guys, man. He can be one of those guys. You can say, okay, this is one of our cornerstones right here.
I'm also still hoping, because that's all we can do is hope, that mm-hmm. part of our pass rush issue was our scheme, right? That's just Paul Gunther's poison just spreading all over the defense and making everyone play worse, right? Because we're not going to just completely overhaul our defense. Like, there's too many free agents, too many young guys, too many first round draft picks. Like, it's just, you know, it's just not going to happen. It just doesn't make business sense, and it won't be that way. So, you know, I'm totally with you. And obviously everyone wants to have more all pro pass rushers in their lineup, right? But in, you know, salary cap era, there's only so many resources. And obviously with John Gruden, who's going to overspend on the offense because that's his baby, or, you know, that even lessens the purse a little bit on the defense. So, I'm hoping that a couple factors come together that can make our defense, specifically our pass rush, borderline respectable, right? I'm not gonna hope it's Christmas morning and Santa's gonna deliver us a top five defense, but I'm hoping that Gus Bradley can turn things around schematically, a new energy. I'm hoping with how bad our defense was, not just last season, but the past like 30 seasons, John Gruden can say, okay, Gruden and Mayock, all right, let's really allocate some resources to turn.
Yeah, let's make a concerted effort here to
bolster. Like, the offense is firing on all cylinders. You know, that line's expensive, but I think they're going to have to make some serious cuts there. And then you got, and you just, you know, get us a really good free safety, get us some edge rushers, get us schematically different, make defense a priority. And I think that's, you know, I don't think the offense is going to suffer that much if we allocate, you know, another $50 million of the salary cap from one set from the O to the D.
You know what kills me when I see ex Raiders playing at other places and just killing it.
Carl Joseph just killing it in the playoffs right now. Carl Joseph,
DeNico Autry, the John Feliciano's are just a fucking beast with the Bills, just pancaking and mauling people. Fucking Jihadi Ward making plays with the Ravens. Like, fuck, man.
It's frustrating.
That's heart-wrenching, man. Especially the John Feliciano, man. I like that kid. And God damn, is he fucking looking good with the Bills?
I mean, it hurt because I want to just like feel good for him. It's like, hey, you know, it's not their fault. Like they're, you know, once a Raider, always a Raider, and they're kicking ass. But the problem is when it goes the other way, it's inverted. So if you're an amazing player somewhere else and we pay a bunch of money to hire you to come to the Raiders, you're not as good as you were wherever you were. That's what's frustrating for me. Like I wouldn't be so bitter if at least when we send our players out somewhere and they succeed, that we get other players, they come to the Raiders and then they turn good. Which doesn't happen.
Or better.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn. That's what irks me. I saw him just mauling people, John Feliciano mauling people in the last playoff game. I was like, oh, come on, man. Mm-hmm. We had him. Cheap.
Yep. Well, speaking of other players, he was never a Raider, but he was certainly on that Raider field often. Phillip Rivers, longtime Chargers quarterback, obviously now with the Colts. Johnny Appleseed announced his retirement. Phillip Rivers, certainly, I think pretty sure he's a Hall of Famer with his resume, even though he not only never won a Super Bowl, never went to the Super Bowl. That's despite being on some of those great Schottenheimer Raider or Charger teams that were, you know, the 14-2 team. They could just never get over the hump in the postseason. You know, he was a rival that I think you loved to hate, as opposed to like, there's just bitter rivals. You're just like, fuck that guy. Like
he did guys, it the right way. He hated the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He fucking hates the Raiders. And it's like, you know what? Good. Cause I fucking hate you too. And then we can have that. Like we can look at each other and be like, all right, man, it's your fucking bolo time. Your 19 kids. Get the fuck out of here. It's your 17 knee braces.
With your G-rated trash talk.
Yeah, G-rated trash talk, throwing like Uncle Rico and shit all sidearm.
And I think that's why, he was like a almost like a fun rival to have at the Chargers, because he was just such a goober with his trash talk. Like you said, 9 kids. He was good, but he never just like we were able to beat him semi-consistently.
Oh, he'd always give you one. Every now and then he'll give you one.
He'll make a corner look good, and then he'll make a corner look bad, right? Back-to-back plays. So it was, there's a lot of, like, you know, Chiefs and Broncos and Chargers and even, like, Seahawks and, like, Steelers where it's just like, F that guy. But with Phillip Rivers, it's kind of like, yeah, all right, yeah. I'm glad we played. He was a cool rival to have. There's almost a soft spot in my silver and black heart. For Phil, now that he's retired, I didn't even realize it's like when you break up with a girlfriend and you don't realize like all the things you hated about her and loved about her until you broke up. That's kind of how I am with Phillip Rivers now that he's retiring. It's like, oh, I guess I did have almost a soft spot in my silver and black heart for him.
Fuck him.
So from him to a living legend,
Ayo.
The Hall of Fame committee did their voting on Tuesday. Tom Flores, two-time Super Bowl winning coach for the Raiders, first minority coach ever, as much of a Raider as basically any human being on planet Earth, Tom Flores.
He committed to those silver polyester pants.
I respect that.
It's got to be respected.
I almost feel like his fashion influenced Al Davis more than the other way around, you know?
I agree 100%. And his hair influenced Donald Trump.
He has got some lettuce on his head, doesn't he? Tom Flores.
That is crispy. That's crispy, bro.
Even now that he's like, what is he, like late 70s, 80s now, whatever he is?
Something like that, yeah.
It's still like, even though it's like barely hanging on and like, you know, the rest of his body is starting to feel the years a little bit, it's still the Tom Flores look.
He hits it with that Ron Popeil shit.
The aerosol, not the spray can, the full aerosol.
The Aqualad shit. It's shiny, bro. It's shiny. God damn.
It catches flies, too. Not? Like, anything that flies into that does not fly out.
The only problem I have with Coach Flores going into the Hall of Fame is they're not going to be able to get that hair right on that breast. They're not going to be able to get that hair right. There's no way. You know what they have to do? They have to cut the ends of a whisk off, and they use caramel and just whisk it on top like that. And then maybe they'll get the hair right. But they can't do it. Like, Franz, you can't do it right. You just can't do it justice.
Often mimics, never replicated. What's the
you
saying?
You can't do it, man. Often duplicated, often imitated, never duplicated.
Yeah, exactly. It has to have a name. Like, what is that haircut? What is that? That's not like, it's got to have a name.
It's like a tumbleweed. It's kind of like a fuzzy tumbleweed mixed with like a common cotton ballish.
It's like the bad guy from an 80s movie that just slicks back their hair, but it also defied gravity.
Yeah, it pops. It just pops up. Like the bad guy in an 80s movie stuck a fork in a socket and his hair just popped up a little.
Yeah, but instead of going straight up, it just kind of elevated from the inside.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Cotton candy. There it is.
There you go. I'm going to have to do my hair like that next show if he gets into the Hall of Fame like he deserves. It's weird because, like, they did the voting on Tuesday, but they don't announce the winners until they didn't say when. It's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
I thought we were going to do the show today and, like, pop open some Coors Light. How cool is it that Coors Light did a campaign for Tom Flores?
Like, because they know what the fuck's up. That's why.
I know. Like, dude, if I'm going to, like... I like this. Like, all through college, I would drink whatever beer had the best commercials. I was very easily commercially influenced. So, like, I drank a lot of Bud Light
out of here
because it was the real Men of Genius.
Whatever was on sale.
Yeah, that was part of it too.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's true, Archie. There wasn't a lot of Keystone Light commercials in my 20s, but I did drink a lot of it.
You drink a lot of that shit. Yeah.
All right. So we talked with a UFC fighter, Cub Swanson, a guy I've known pretty well. I've trained with him back in the day. I've worked with him in production and broadcast, known him for over a decade. Now, I even competed against him in a jiu-jitsu tournament. We were like 15 years ago, whatever it is, go way back. Giant Raider fan, huge Raider favorite. Fan. And apparently the Raiders like Cub as much as Cub likes the Raiders. Here he is, Mr. Killer Cub Swanson. All right, joining us on the Autumn Windbags, giant Raiders fan and UFC fighter. He's a guy who's won 10 Fight of the Night bonuses in the UFC and WEC. Cub Swanson, thanks for joining us. Cub, do you ever stop and think about, like, if I took all of my, like, Fight Night bonuses and just, like, bought Bitcoin with them 10 years ago, where I'd be right now?
I remember hearing guys going to the military, like friends of mine, when they were in, I believe it was it Afghanistan or Iraq? But they were saying that some of them had brought back some of the money, just to have it. And they were saying, well, it's not worth anything because the government kind of collapsed and it's not worth anything. And I was just thinking, well, if that happens in the future, people will just use online currency, right?
Yep.
Like when, so it just made sense to me that at some point countries are going to, they're going to have troubling times and they're going to turn towards, internet currency. So that was my thought process.
You're right.
Yeah. Those financial planners just cost you. You should send him a bill. Same thing with me too. I have like a guy that like I have some mutual funds. Like I try to save and I asked him the same thing.
I was off of Tesla as well.
Yeah. Like that. Exactly. So like I asked like my guy, I was like, what do you think of Bitcoin? This is like 8 years ago. He's like, I don't trust anything that I don't, that I can't hold or I don't know about. So, it's pretty volatile. It's like, okay, same. And motherfucker. Yeah.
There's a story. There was like I think it was an engineer. Like in 2010, he paid for a pizza with Bitcoin, like 40 Bitcoin. It would have been like $396 million or something like that. Oh, God. That must have been some good ass pizza. Hopefully.
Yeah. At least I'm not that idiot.
Oh, God, dude. Yeah. You never had it. At least you never had it. He had it and he paid on pizza.
Well, I did buy a good chunk of Tesla before the Crone fight, and I sold it and it had gone up enough for me to put a down payment on my car. And nice. And I was all stoked about that. Yeah. And then 6 months later, I could have bought six cars. I was like, I was so heated, you know?
Yeah. We've all been there, right? We're like, oh, we got like 12% return on this thing. And then 5 years later, yeah. It's like, yeah. Yep. Oh, well, live and learn. Big old Raider fan, Cub, obviously coming from Southern California. What's like your first memory of the Raiders? Like what got you into it? Was it family? Just love football? Like how did it all come to be?
Well, yeah, I was adopted when I was about three by close family members. It was my dad's cousin. And he was a diehard Raiders fan and he's just the Southern California guy, you know. He was always every Sunday Raiders, you know, and he would scream it to people. He's just a diehard fan. If anyone was like a Broncos fan or, you know, a Chargers fan, he'd be like Raiders, you know, and he just diehard Raiders fan. So that's just kind of how I was raised. And my earliest memory is, I had said this before, but I got sent home from school. I think I was in first grade. I had a Raiders shirt on and they said it was gang affiliated and they sent me home from school. Huh? And I remember my stepmom was like, he's in first grade. Like, how dare you? And she like lit up the principal. I wasn't allowed to wear it. So that stuck in my mind, you know? So that's probably like my earliest memory of it.
I blame Ice Cube for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine a young, like 6 or 7 year old Cub Swanson being like, really? That just makes me like the Raiders more.
Yeah.
I've never taken this shirt off then. Right? How about that?
I need to get that respect. Yeah. My middle school is the same way in Huntington Beach, California, like Orange County, like suburban Orange County. Like, no, you can't wear Raiders gear. That Cowboys and Niners gear, that's fine. But clearly, you know, this blonde hair, towhead white boy in Huntington Beach is gangbanging with his, you know, Ken Stabler jersey. Like, Jesus Christ, man.
That's terrible, man. That's, you know what? Rap. The world loves to be a Raider hater, man. The world loves to hate on us. So it's all good. We're used to it. We've been Raider fans for years. So I know we're all used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nothing says it more like the tuck rule, you know?
Oh.
That just still irks me, you know? Like, it's like, you obviously don't want us to win. I don't want to sound bitter.
Yeah, well, it's
still bothers me.
Was it 19 years later? Still feel exactly. It was a 19-year anniversary, like 2 days ago, 3 days ago, something like that. Yeah,
we call him Tommy Tuck Rule on the show. We call him Tommy Tuck Rule. We don't call him the other name.
He can win 50 more Super Bowls, and he's not Touchdown Tommy to me. He's Tommy Tuck.
He's Tommy Tuck Rule. That's what he is. That's his name.
It's crazy too. Like when you think about like where the franchises went that after that time, because like obviously the Raiders went to the Super Bowl the next year and obviously Tom Brady and the Patriots went on their dynasty. But like when you stop and think about it, like I spent way more time thinking about this than I should have. But when you stop and think about it, if we would have kept, you know, if they would have called that right, we beat the Patriots. We would have won the Super Bowl that year. Like we would have beat the Rams, like Rich Gannon, Tim Brown, our defense, everybody was firing. And then if we win the Super Bowl, there's no way Al Davis trades John Gruden to Tampa. So we keep John Gruden. There's no way Bill Callahan takes this team in the nosedive that it was. That we beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or whoever was in the NFC the next year. So we're back-to-back Super Bowl champions. And then, because you remember, Drew Bledsoe was the starter of the Patriots. If Tom Brady, like, fumbles that time, maybe they let Bledsoe start because Tom Brady, like he fumbled when the lights are biggest, he kind of goes away. Maybe Bill Belichick doesn't become the coach that he was. Maybe he's just another, like, you know, ex Bill Parcells disciple that failed with the Pats, like he failed with the Browns. Like if we had a time machine, Cub, and they call that right, I think we'd be having a very, very different conversation. Like 19 years later, we're talking about the Raiders dynasty and the Patriots just never being able to get over the hump.
You have put a lot of thought into this.
I didn't think of my investments in buying Bitcoin, but I definitely did the hypotheticals of what would happen if the Tuck Rule went the White Ray.
I will say this. There would be a lot more Raider podcasts than there are now, though.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know that there was that many. I'm starting to get into them just because I want to hear, like, what's going on. So it's nice to know.
So what is your overall thoughts of this last season?
There was some things to be proud of, but you know, I wish we would have finished a little stronger. I wish we would have done a little better in the draft. And I just wish we would have been able to stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, man.
That's been frustrating in the last couple of years, knowing like, man, we actually have some good tools and some good weapons. And then the injuries happen. It's like, oh, those are some key people we're missing this week. That, you know, like, oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I was disappointed in what we hoped was going to be a really good draft for us. You know, they're saying that the wide receiver draft pool was maybe one of the best. I think we had one of the best rookie receivers in history with the guy, was it Justin Jeffries?
Jefferson, yeah.
Jefferson, yeah. From the Vikings.
Yeah, yeah. And he was a second rounder, I believe. But yeah, like he did crazy numbers, but I thought we should have went with CeeDee Lamb. When I kind of understood going with Ruggs because of the speed, I'm like, okay, they're trying to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. I can respect that. You know, like they're the champs and we want to compete with them. So I was like, okay, I get it. But at the end of the day, it just looks like Ruggs is too small. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to stay healthy.
Yeah. You know? It's a tough one. Like, obviously, so, you know, like CeeDee Lamb was like a guy that's going to like win contested balls more, right? Bigger dude. He'll like hip check a corner, go high, right? That's not really Ruggs' game. You know, like I said, he's a speedster.
Yeah.
But that comes with pluses and minuses, right? Like he's not going to like body dudes and like beat a strong safety, but you know, he can blow the top off the offense. And I think that's the one thing, like, even though he was underwhelming stat wise this season. And I've had this fight with Soto 100 times. Like, oh, we got to get Ruggs the ball. You're like, don't force him. If he's open, great. If he's not, we got Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs and Hunter Renfro. Yeah. Like, there's no reason to just be like, all right, we got to force it to Ruggs. It's up to Ruggs to get himself open. I'm not willing to like, I still believe in him. You know, it's a rookie year. Like you said, he got hurt, didn't get all the playing time. It was no off season because of COVID. Like it's, you know, it's hard for a lot of receivers to be able to do, you know, to reach their potential this early, but I'm with you. Like that, I think the problems with Ruggs is like, we know what they are. You know, it's not just like Gruden, like hating rookie receivers and not wanting to toss it to his first rounder.
I mean, if you're going to draft a guy that high in the first round, look at how Kansas City used Tyreek Hill his first year. Mm-hmm. A lot of bubble screens, a lot of just quick hitches, a lot of quick stuff to get him out in space. Why are you taking a guy if you're not going to use him? Use him, put him in a position to succeed. Don't just have him run deep every time. I said in a previous podcast, Nelson Aguilar needs to buy Ruggs something expensive, because all the safety help was going over the top Ruggs' side. There was no safety help going over Aguilar's side. So that was my only issue with how they used Ruggs this year. It was all down the field type of stuff. Very little, you know, a couple times here and there. I think once or twice they gave it to him on that jet sweep. You got the guy. He has the tools. I mean, use him. I'm not saying to force him the ball, but put him in a position where he can do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the only thing – I feel like next season – you see someone like that doesn't have a great season, I feel like he's going to come back bigger, mm-hmm. Which I think would be the smart move. I feel like, look, take a 0.2 off your 40 time and get a little bigger, get a little stronger. It literally looked like every time he got tackled, it was like, oh, don't get hurt. You know, yeah. he's always limping.
You're right. He's every time he got tackled, he got a kind of ginger, you know?
Like, yeah. And I'm like, man, this dude's little, like he's fast, but don't hit him, you know? So I think he's going to have to, you know, like just like fighters, every fight camp in these big fights, you got to think like, okay, do I need to be stronger or faster for this fight? That's usually how I go into a fight thinking. And I think if I was Ruggs, I would be like, man, I need to hit the weights and not worry about being the fastest guy, because I could lose a step or two and still be the fastest guy on the field. Mm-hmm, sure. But I need to be a little more durable. I don't want to say tougher, just more durable. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever, like get in a scrap because you were wearing Raiders gear?
No, no. Okay. Close at a game. That's probably the only thing. Chargers Raiders game. You know, just geez, in San Diego.
Man, they're mouthy down there. They used to be really mouthy down there.
Yeah, yeah. Especially even where I'm from in Palm Springs, like pretty much there's Cowboys fans and Rams fans. But other than that, it's all Raiders and Chargers fans. And we just like butt heads, especially during the early 2000s. It was crazy. So it was like half of our friends were Chargers fans, and it just like, you know, it was tough.
Yeah. Especially like, you know, like the mid 2000s when they were going to the playoffs every year. And it's just like, God, I hate you guys so much.
Ladainian Tomlinson. He would score like 60 touchdowns a year, and just like that, I hated that little shit. He just freaking like go to the end zone with his hand behind his head and shit.
Yeah,
Sean Marin, the fucking lights out bullshit. Fuck that guy.
He's working in MMA now, Sean Marin. He has like an MMA promotion.
Yeah,
randomly enough.
Yeah, whatever. He's a Charger. Fuck him.
Right.
Good point.
Might as well be tennis. What do you make of Derek Carr?
I'm a fan, you know, like I think there's been a couple times that I'm a little disappointed, but majority of the time he's brought us back. How many times? I mean, I think he's done it. You know, he's up there in the record books for as many times as he's done like fourth quarter comebacks. Mm-hmm. I think he can get the job done. I think we just need to keep protecting him. And I think our defense needs to give him more opportunities. I mean, he's been pretty consistent all the way through, and he's pretty tough, pretty durable. I mean, I feel like it would be pretty hard to replace him, you know. I always trip out because, you know, a lot of these teams will have a good quarterback, and then they're like, well, he's not the best quarterback. Let's get somebody else. And it's like, you know, you could always go down. You know,
you definitely go backwards. Testify, because Soto keeps bitching and moaning about Derek Carr. Like, I don't think you can get us to Super Bowl. Dude, he had 101 QB rating this season. It's like, you see, you think of like, oh, well, look at like, you know, the Chargers drafted a quarterback and the Chiefs drafted a quarterback. Yeah. What about all the other teams you drafted a quarterback and sucked and have been stuck in quarterbackless purgatory forever?
I mean,
here's the issue that I have. Go ahead.
Okay. Many issues.
No one cares what I say.
Just the fact that we played that game with the whole offensive line was quarantined. Mm-hmm. It was like we were possibly going to play with no starting offensive linemen.
Tight ends and shit.
I was like, oh my gosh. I was terrified. I was like, he's going to get hurt for sure.
Yeah.
God.
But Soto, you want to defend yourself here?
Look, I said it last week. If we put the defense around him, because I did some research, the research was the last 30 years, the Super Bowl winning team either had a top level quarterback or a top four defense, one or the other, every single year except for one, and that was Joe Flacco's Ravens. But Ray Lewis was hurt most of the year, Suggs was out most of that year, but he had Nata, Suggs, Upshaw, Lewis, Reed. I mean, they had players on that defense that got healthy towards the end. So, I mean, you debate that one, but every other year you either have a top level quarterback or a top four defense. So a top of the food chain defense or top of the food chain quarterback every single year that wins the Super Bowl. Can Derek Carr beat that guy? My issue with Derek Carr is he's a little, I don't know if you know what that means, but in the red zone his balls shrink a little bit. We need touchdowns and we get field goals, right? Our field goal kicker had 18 field goals, 30 yards or less. That's less than an extra point. Okay. So we're on the 11 yard line.
That's John Gruden's call. That's not Derek Carr.
Dude, you keep saying,
sending the kicker out there.
Saying, oh, well,
Derek Carr's not grabbing the football, running off the field. Bro, saying, here you go, Daniel. I'm done.
RJ,
kick it away.
You keep saying, oh, well, Witten's running these 1 yard outs. Those aren't touchdown routes. He's throwing the ball to Witten. What I'm saying is he needs to grow some balls in the red zone, push the ball into the end zone. If he does it half the time he gets a touchdown and half the time he doesn't. Guess what? That's still 7 over 6. It's still more points. Well, push the ball into the end zone, Derek Carr.
Who's he going to throw it to? That I feel like that's more of the issue. You know, it's like everyone knows Waller's going to, you know, he's getting the ball majority of the time because he's dependable. Mm-hmm. Aguilar was like, played way better than anyone expected, which
I don't know
great.
Where the hell that came from.
Right? Yeah, but
I'm happy about it. But shit. Yeah. You see that clip? You see that clip from that guy from Philadelphia with the babies?
Yeah,
he was throwing babies. I was catching him. I'm like Aguilar's ass.
Yeah. That must have helped because he definitely was catching a lot. And then Renfrow does really good on, you know, running across the middle, which is I feel like why we should have, you know, drafted somebody more dependable.
Well, we got Bryan Edwards, man. They did not use Bryan Edwards, and he showed in that touchdown catch that he had. That defender was, I mean, doing a chin-up on that ball, and that thing did not move. That guy's a player. We talked to Dan Helley last week, and he said the same thing. Great hands. That was his thing. Throw the ball up at South Carolina. He just goes up and gets it. Yeah. I think we had the players. I'm not blaming Carr exclusively for that. I do put a lot of blame on Gruden for that as well. But I mean, that's what I would want to see a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, we haven't had a top 10 defense one time only, RJ, since you've been alive.
We've had two top 10 defenses, Cub, get this, two top 10 defenses in the last 30 years.
Wow.
30. And we're all bitching and moaning about our offense. Like, come on. It's the defense.
We need a top five to get into to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Top five, or we're in the 10-ish, 11 range and have Derek Carr be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, how about this? If I could switch the topic.
Let's hear it.
Please do, Producer Cup.
This is one that I want, and I think it's going to piss a lot of people off.
Uh-oh,
but I feel like on Thursday, the next time we play Thursday night, we need to go all black.
Oh, shit.
Why
like,
Thursday?
We're the only ones. We don't do because
they
that's
do those
the
Thursday
color
games.
Rush.
They do those color rush games.
Yeah, and we're the only team that doesn't change because we're very, you know, silver and black.
We don't have to, baby.
We got the OGs.
People copy us.
Yeah, yeah. But the all black with the silver letters and the logo, I think an all black would be
that would look tits,
pretty dope.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. That
like a hard carbon black, you know? They're pretty sick.
Maybe I mean, I think if we change the black, then people would be really pissed off. But people, because Al Davis was never wanting to, he wanted to just stick to the same, you know, the same color scheme, never change it up. And I get that because over time it looks, it gives
timeless.
It even more. Yeah, it's timeless because it's never changed. But I just feel like for a Thursday night game, like all black would just be so, so sick.
Yeah, if we get like the Chiefs or something on a Thursday night, just be like,
fuck the Queefs, man.
Yeah. We'll be perfect to just be like, yeah, we're dressing up for a funeral because we're going to kill Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He almost died last week.
We almost beat him twice this year.
Yeah.
Did you see him stanky legging after he got knocked out? He tried to stand up and you didn't see that? Oh my God. He got bulldogged like. He got tackled and the guy was like hanging on his head and all his weight, all the defender's weight and his head landed on the ground first. He tried to stand up and he was just like,
yeah,
it was rough.
I like Patrick. Only because, Lee Steinberg is his agent and I like Lee Steinberg's story. He, you know, you guys know him, the agent.
Not as well as you do.
I mean, I know. Tell me.
He's the guy from Jerry Maguire. That movie's based on him.
Is it?
Yeah. Excellent. And so he had like Warren Moon and I think John Elway. And he has the most number one draft picks ever. And he was a huge, huge star. And he kind of lost everything because he was an alcoholic. And he kind of got pushed out of the game and then came back. After he sobered up and he started with the, you know, no one wanted to mess with him. He wasn't one of the top agents anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he took a lot of guys that weren't supposed to go in the first round. I think Patrick was one of them. And, you know, he's one of the biggest stars in the game. So I just think it's really cool that he, you know, worked his way back.
Cub, don't make me like Patrick Mahomes, okay? Don't make me like his ass. He sounds like Kermit the Frog and his commercials suck.
but those commercials, you gotta think of how much money they're generating. They're doing, you know, man. they're killing it. They're doing it. So I mean, I can't hate on individual athletes. I've learned to do that, because as an athlete myself, to get, you know, you get hated on for reasons that are out of your control. You're like, that's not my fault, you know?
Right. Well, the only thing athletic about me is my feet. So, I mean.
Oh, in your mouth?
I have an athletic mouth, yes.
Yeah. That's how we got COVID.
I've been telling you stories. So, yeah. RJ, quit putting my business out there, bro.
Hey, this is, we're raw, dude. No, we don't edit anything out on this show. What's some of the shit that you've gotten from fans that you were talking about? That you're like, the hell?
Like an easy one is just being teammates with TJ, that I've gotten a lot of slack for that. Mm-hmm. And so just because we train together, people just would call me a cheater. And I'm like,
they're lumping all the Raiders fans together, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And that's another thing is like being a Raiders fan. It's like, look, don't make me. In fact, I was at Kenda to on New Year's, the day after New Year's, we played the Broncos a couple years ago. And it was when Derek Carr messed up his back and he didn't get to play that game. And I was all disappointed because we got smoked with our backup. But there was one Raiders fan that was standing up drunk as hell, trying to pick fights with everyone. And then he's like looking at me like, you got my back? And I'm like,
no, bro.
No, like,
sorry.
Like I'm with my wife. I'm not trying to get in a fight, dude. And you're being obnoxious. Like, you know, so even being a Raiders fan, sometimes you're like, look, like we're passionate, but I'm not that guy. You know, that guy.
Don't put jump his ass, box. Not me.
I'm a fan. That fool crazy.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I think I always say this, like anytime there's like a new Raider fan, like we're drafted, like we draft somebody or we pick up a free agent, it's like, hey, you got back everywhere now. Like no matter where you are, like west of the Rockies, like someone will shank somebody for you because you're a Raider. But it doesn't go the other way where it's just like, oh yeah, I'm hammered. Let me just call Cub real fast. He'll drive down from Palm Springs and beat up this Charger fan for me. Like, they're not hired assassins.
I've actually peed on a Broncos fan before.
There you go.
Yeah. And just like in the bathroom.
Well, I was in downtown Long Beach. No, I was in Long Beach.
Yeah, I'm like, you snuck it in. That's kind of
where the old
Hooters was. A little too vague of a story.
Where the old Hooters was, RJ? Not before they moved.
Downtown Long Beach?
Yeah, at the Pike.
Yeah.
So I was peeing on the wall at the Hooters. I was peeing on the wall at the Hooters. And there was opening game on my birthday. It was on my birthday, September 8th. Opening game, they lost to the Broncos. And these Broncos fans are walking behind me as I'm peeing on the wall. And I'm super drunk. And they're just like, fucking Broncos, Raiders, bitches, whatever. Fuck the Broncos. I just turned around. And it sounded like rain hitting a tarp because he was wearing those, like, tearaway pants. Those, like, nylon warm-up pants. I just peed on his leg. He's like, what the hell? He just walked off. He would have beat the shit out of me. I was super drunk.
Somewhere there's a Broncos podcast and he's telling this story. He's like, I was walking by the Hooters and this just fucking fat Mexican just started peeing all over me. It was bullshit. But I didn't want to mess with him because he's probably packing because he's a Raiders fan.
And he's don't put me in that box either.
Crazy. Yeah. You know what? Honestly, that's the only crazy, stupid Raiders shit I've ever done in my life.
Well, yeah, you brought up TJ Dillashaw. His suspension just wrapped up this week. So you still training with them? Still talking with them?
We train together all the time. We mostly get our grappling in together. Just because you know how Southern California is, we're all as training everywhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, his suspension's up. He's trying to line a fight up. I don't think they have anyone for him yet. But yeah, he's getting back into it, getting ready. We got Juan Archuleta is going to be defending his belt soon. We're trying to figure out when that's going to be. And then, I'm trying to, you know, heal up from this last fight still and get in there again. So
what, your knuckles?
Huh? Yeah.
Your knuckles were beating the shit out of him.
I broke my hand in the first round. So.
Oh, did you? Oh, shit.
I got my cast off.
Nice. Yeah. Well, good. How are you healing? How's it feeling?
It's good. It's good. I can grab things now. I'm just not allowed to hit anything for a couple weeks. So, you know, got these fragile hands.
Have you lost count of how many times you've broken your hands?
No, it's 12.
Oh. Wow.
Jesus. Do you talk to any other Fighter Raider fans? I know Justin Gaethje's a Raider fan.
Well, TJ's a Raider fan.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn. Yeah,
way to have your finger on the pulse there, Soto.
Oh, fuck. You're the one. You don't tell me shit, RJ. You don't tell me shit. You freaking make me look stupid every time we have a freaking guest on the show.
You do that on yourself, Mr. Piss on Pants.
And then Juan's a Redskins fan. Oh, sorry, a Washington football fan. I was trying to like pull him over, but then you know they ended up making it further this year than we did. So I think I lost them.
I mean, that's not a badge of honor winning the NFC East this year. They were like, what, 7-9 or some shit like that? Same record as we had. They just had a shitty division.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, who else is a Raiders fan?
Jessica Alba's a Raiders fan. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, really? Counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm super pumped about that.
Yeah.
RJ's like, hey, can you get a list of people that are Raider fans, like, that we can get on the show? I said you. I said Gaethje. I said Jessica Alba, Ice Cube, George Lopez. Tom Hanks is a Raider fan. That's all I got.
I wouldn't have guessed that. He's too nice to be a Raiders fan.
You got to be born a Raider fan, baby. It's got to be in you.
Yeah, I feel you. Well, my kids are Raiders fans. They're forced to be. Even though one of my sons is named Saint.
Yeah,
I'm like, doesn't matter. Still a Raiders fan.
You got him doing the Raiders chant yet? Raiders.
No.
Okay.
Oh no, my daughter.
Daughter?
Yeah.
There you go.
I do it. I'm like, Raiders. I was a writer, bro. And then she's like, Raiders. She doesn't even know. She's like, oh, okay, Dad.
That's a good dad. That's good parenting right there.
Yeah, it's indoctrination. That's what you need. So what's the timeline on you getting all healed up? Is there one?
Yeah, so, you know, I like long training camps because injuries happen, and when those happen, I like to just go, okay, you know, little injuries, I'm like, okay, take a week off, you know, let it heal, you know, do what you got to do. So it just kind of takes pressure. I've noticed when people train like 6, 7, 8 weeks for a fight, they're like, they can't miss a practice because to get into the shape that you need to get in and prepare, it's stressful. So I like to do like, you know, 12, 14 weeks. I basically do like a pre-camp. I do all the, you know, two-a-days, but then I'll like pull back and I'm still eating kind of crappy. And, you know, I'll just be like, I'm not feeling it today. I'm not going to go.
That's me.
Once I get into like decent shape, you know, like at 10 weeks out, then I'm like going hard. Mm-hmm. And then I'll pull back the 2 weeks before the fight. Just to make sure that, you know, that I'm making it to the fight. Earlier in my career, I had to pull out of too many fights from just getting injured. So, I'm just not into that. I need to get paid. I need to get paid for all this hard work.
You got a fam, baby. You need to get that.
Yeah. So I'm hoping April or May.
Okay.
Cool, man.
What did you make of, one, Max Holloway's performance against Calvin Kattar, and two, his comments after when he said he doesn't spar anymore.
Yeah. So that, I think I spar a lot less than I did before. And I feel like I still need to get my timing down. But I think you kind of mature, you know, as a fighter, and it's not as hard to get there, you know, 'cause you've done it so many times. I've kind of said that, I kind of made this saying up and then I always blank out on it, but overtraining is stupidity, and undertraining is, what is the word I used? Overtraining is stupidity. Undertraining is just insecurity, you know? So that kind of sums it up. You know, when you're younger, you're insecure and you just like, my opponent's doing more than me. Oh my God. And you're just so worried that kind of motivates you and drives you, and it's just insecurity. Mm-hmm. And then later you get to a point where you're like, I know exactly how much I need to train and what I got to do to get to this shape. And if you're not doing that, then you're just being lazy. So you kind of, you know, over the years you get smarter and you get better at doing this. The fact that he didn't spar, I feel like he's done so many rounds and he probably didn't need to.
Yeah.
And I thought his performance was beautiful. It's really been what I've been trying to get more to is just, you know, volume and pressure and pace. And if you can dictate that, it doesn't really give your opponent a chance to kind of, you know, be in the dance. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think about it with like music, you know, if you're setting the tone and the beat, then you're leading the dance, then the other person has to follow and they're fighting a fight. That's not their fight. They're fighting your fight. And that's such a big part of the game. And I feel like the way he started, it's the same kind of way he fought me, but he just was super aggressive with it. And he just starts going right away and sets a pace. And you're just sitting there going, okay, what's he doing? And then he's hitting you, but it's not really hard. They kind of hurt their little peppering shots, but you're like, your ego's like, that didn't hurt. That didn't hurt. And then after like 20 of them, you're like, man, I'm kind of tired for the first round, you know? And then you're like, man, he's kicking my ass right now. What the hell? And then you got to like switch it up. And that's, I felt like Cater just, he talked about wanting to show him he was a freshman or whatever. He got showed that there's levels and that, I mean, Cater's a great fighter, but he got showed that he's just not at that level yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was, I don't know if he didn't react well to Max's length, because it just seemed like he was there the entire fight, but just out of reach because he's the longer fighter. He's able to pop, 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 and just fade back just a little bit where Cater couldn't really get him, and then he just runs back in. He wasn't necessarily walking him down. He just was just fading away a little bit, pop, 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 coming back a little bit. Getting right just out of range. I think that was more so Max knowing his range and knowing he was longer so he could stay there.
Mm-hmm. He does. He kind of does his own version of the Diaz style, which, you know, the Diaz are, you know, fighting from southpaw, and they do this leaning in and out, and they can play that game being the taller fighter. So what they'll do is they'll walk right up to you and grab your hands and then hit you. And then you try to hit them back. They just pull back and hit you again. It's kind of like that little stupid the punching ball, you know.
That's kind of
the style, and I feel like Max does it not kind of flared open stance like the Diaz brothers do, but his is more of a boxing style, and he just goes heavy on the lead foot and throws at the end of his range and then pulls back and throws and pulls back, and it's very hard to time it. And he's just really good at it. So, I think the only person that's really done a really good job at shutting him down on that was Volkanovski, and those fights were razor close.
Yeah.
I knew that the fight against Dustin Poirier, when he moved up, was going to be a different story because, you know, Dustin Poirier is also long and, you know, durable. So I knew that was a bad matchup for him.
So you fought Dustin, obviously. You're intimately known. I think it was 2013 you beat him in the UFC.
Yeah.
He's got a big one coming up on Saturday, taking on Conor McGregor.
Oh, he's fighting?
You might have heard, right? Irish guy, kind of loud.
Oh, that guy? Oh,
yeah. Okay, yeah. He's fighting too. Giant pay-per-view on Saturday. What do you make of that rematch of those two southpaws?
I just want to see a good fight. You know, I think people enjoyed seeing Conor in some wars with Nate. And even Khabib, the short fights are, you know, they really boost him up as, you know, as an iconic fighter, but I feel like he beat those guys mentally, and those guys kind of, and I'm not trying to talk trash at all because I've been there in those moments when you can just be like, oh my God, this moment is bigger than I thought. And that pressure you put on yourself just makes you freeze up and feel little. And I feel like he does a really good job of beating people before they even get in there. So I get annoyed with that because I want to see a good fight. And I'm thinking that Poirier's, you know, he's felt that before. He's worked past it. and I'm sure he'll feel it again, but I think that he'll rise to the occasion and put a great fight. But it's definitely hard to bet against Connor.
Yeah. I mean, I when Connor, cause, you know, obviously when you have that kind of panache, if you will, you get a little freedom with the matchmaking. Right. And so I don't say he handpicked Poirier. That's not fair. Like they're, you know, if you beat Dustin Poirier, you can fight for a title. Like he's, you know, obviously he's that good. Right. So it's not like he's just, you know, handpicking some weakling, but I feel like he still sees the same things that he saw in him and, you know, 8 years ago, whenever it was, when he beat him the first time, knocked him out in the first round. And I think he still kind of maybe sees those holes in there, which is why I think he picked Dustin again, even though Dustin's way better defensively now than he was back then. I just feel like Connor doesn't pick an opponent if it's not for a specific reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's picked every opponent he's had since getting into UFC, other than maybe the first one. And that's a luxury. You know, that not everybody gets. And yeah, I agree. I think he's taking this fight because he's like, I beat him once. I'm still in his head. I'll beat him again. And, you know, he's just trying to get closer to that title fight. So, I mean, I definitely think Connor's a really good at the path that he takes, with all his fights, you know, that's something I think he does really good job at. I don't know if it's just him or his team. Even his like cryptic messages and everything, I think he does a really good job of playing the politics of the game.
And that's as much as, like, you know, whether you like it or not, getting in people's heads or matchmaking, like that's as much a part of the game as having a good right hand or a good sprawl or like a black belt in jiu-jitsu, you know. That's,
yeah, unfortunately, I mean, yeah, you know, that's the name of the game. I mean, how many title fights have I had? Zero. You know, they're like, you should talk more. I'm like, you know, I fight, you know, I don't really want to, you know, I'll bullshit with my friends, but I'm not going to go on TV and try to like have an arguing match. Like, we fight. That's what we do. Book us. I'll fight. You know, I that's never been my thing. So, it is part of the game. And, you know, we've seen it ever since. I mean, we really got to give it up to Tito. He was the one that did it first. And then Chael kind of came along and took it to another level. And then Connor took it to another level. So it's the future of the sport.
Who's the opponent that you did hate the most? Did you ever get like really riled up for an opponent?
That I fought or that I didn't fight?
Both.
Both.
That I fought was Jens Pulver. Because they made me out to be the bad guy in that one. And that was something I was not comfortable with.
Because you were a Raiders fan. Yep. Of course. Of course.
Yep. Just because, man, I was broke and I needed it so bad and I wanted it so bad and I trained so hard. And then he pulled out of the fight and said he was injured. And I said that he wasn't, and that he just, you know, wanted more time to prepare. And so they made it seem like I was just some cocky kid calling him out. And then that, you know, I froze up in that fight. He beat me. And then, you know, they were like, oh my gosh. And then he got the title fight. So all that just really set my career back a little bit and just made me bitter. Yeah. And it was my own mistakes, but yeah, that's why I hated him for a long time, but we're cool now. But the person that I never fought was definitely Connor. Me and him almost fought a couple times at two separate UFCs, just because like the way he is on camera, he's like that everywhere. So it's like, I'm sitting there and he came and sat next to me and then started calling me old grandpa cub. And he just starts poking at people, you know? And I'm like, look, dude, I don't fucking like you in the first place. Like, why would you sit next to me and start talking shit to me? If you, like, you got a problem, what's up? And then, so we started getting into it. So I just don't appreciate that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, we're in the business of fighting. If you want to fight me, then tell the matchmaker, we'll make it happen. They'll come over here and try to like pick a fight and then make it like a big scene about it. That, 'cause where I come from, in my you know, short amount of time that I was getting in trouble and I went to juvenile hall, that was like we called people like that. You know, we'd say they were making movies, like, oh, this dude's over here making movies. And, yeah. And that meant like, if you were going to fight someone, you had to hide to fight, you know, you had to like go around the corner. You had, you know, because yeah. you're not allowed to, it's like, mm-hmm. you're going to get pepper sprayed, everyone down. So if you were going to fight, then you'd be like, let's go, you know? And if someone didn't want to fight, then they'd be like, me, you talking to me? Oh, what? You look, you're like, oh, damn. Causing a scene. Causing a scene.
I'll kick your ass, warden.
Yeah. So it's like, it gets broken up and then you're like, oh, you're lucky. It's like, dude, you could have fought. You could have just went around the corner. But yeah. obviously if you didn't want to fight, you make a scene, you cause attention. So to me growing up, that was frowned upon. You know, if you handle it like a man, you know, you go around the corner and handle the business. That's that. The more that you're a showman and you know, that was shown, like to me, that was a weakness. And that's kind of how I came up. So it's just a different environment. So when I got to UFC and that started becoming more popular, I was just like, that's not me. They're like, well, you know, you can, you know, your manager and your people around you, your training partners, like telling you, you can change, you can do it a different way. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to, because I don't want to, from the beginning, I never wanted to change who I was, you know, to be more accepted as a fighter. I'm just being me, you know, and if people accept me for that, then cool. And I think that's really worked out for me in the long run, but in the short distance of my career, it didn't help at all.
Well, Cub, we appreciate you coming on. You gave us a ton of time. We really appreciate it. We know you're a busy guy, yeah, family man. You got some healing to do.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you coming on, Cub. Can't wait to see you fight March or April, hopefully sooner than later.
Well, I appreciate it. I do got to say real quick, I do get some support and I've been getting some feedback from some players. Number one, Max Crosby. He was shouting me out during my fight.
Nice.
He follows me and I'm always, you know, trying to hit him up on social media because, you know, I'm a fan. Jonathan Abram, same thing. And I think the first one to do it was Jalen Richard. He's been on our team for a minute. He's been following me for a while. So, you know, shout out to those guys for, and Hunter Renfro was commenting too on during my fight. So nice. All those guys right there, like my favorite Raiders right now.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's cause you know, obviously like NFL players, especially like defensive players, Max Crosby, like they're badass motherfuckers. Right. And so to, you know, big dudes, amazing athletes, like cream of the crop. But when there's a UFC on, it's like, oh, those are the alphas. Those guys in that 8-sided cage are the alphas. It's fucking sweet.
Yeah. It's nice, cool. Man. It's cool. Oh, and you know what? You want to know something else that I haven't even said? After my fight, you know who called me? I was driving home from Vegas and I got a call and it said anonymous. And I was like, told my wife, should I answer this? She was like, I don't know. And I was like, accept speaker. And guess who it is? Wild guess. It's not an athlete though.
John Gruden.
Nope.
Mark Davis.
No, not a Raider. Not a Raider.
Not a Raider?
Yeah, sorry, I just went off topic.
Jessica Alba.
It was a video message.
Who? You're like this. Ooh.
It was movie phone. No, I was playing. I said that and I'm like, man, there's people, some of these listeners don't even know what movie phone is, I'm sure.
Yeah. Youngins.
We're getting old. No, it was Robert Downey Jr. called me and
oh, shit.
I was like, the whole time I was thinking, man, is this an app? Someone's fucking with me. This is really good. I'm totally buying this. he called me and he was like, man, I saw your fight and it was awesome. I saw your interview after and I just felt like I should call out and tell you, you know, call you and tell you, you know, how much, you know, I, you know, appreciated the fight and everything. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. But like you were saying, people appreciate alphas. So, but I think people really appreciate, you know, the story that goes into it too. And that's kind of what I've been trying to do, show that I'm, you know, raising my kids, trying to still live my dream. And you know, it's not easy, but, you know, but I'm just a normal everyday dude. And I just happen to train really hard and, you know, fight for a living. So yeah, to be able to get a phone call after a fight like that from Iron Man.
Iron Man called you, dude. That's dope.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Right. So I just got, I'm just getting breaking news. Cub Swanson's going to take 6 months off of fighting because he's going to be in Iron Man 4. So he's going to miss this fight cycle, but I understand why. That's awesome. So how long was the conversation?
Probably about, you know, 5 or 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. Wasn't too long, but he super nice guy. He was asking me how old my kids were. And, he was like, are they Marvel fans? I'm like, they're a little young, but you know, they will be. He was like, all right, well, just saying, because I'll FaceTime them and, you know, play it up like I'm Iron Man, you know, for them.
Hell yeah.
I just
thought, like, what a cool dude.
Hell yeah.
And he's like, well, you got my number. I was like, well, it came up as anonymous. And he's like, well, I'll text you right now. So I was like, all right, cool. So yeah, I might have to pull that card at some point. Yeah.
Let's call him right now, Cub. Let's get him on the show.
Get him on the horn.
Four-way conversation. Like, what? That's awesome that all those
check. let's see if this is real,
right? It's awesome all those Raider fans are fans of yours, because like obviously now that the Raiders are in Vegas, the UFC's based in Vegas, like,
yeah,
once that COVID shit's done, like, dude, I you know, people don't know I work at UFC production. It's like I my mind is already racing of getting you in Allegiant Stadium, walking through the locker room like after a practice, like giving them some kind of like pumped up, like, did you see Frankie Edgar do the speech for the Jets like a few seasons ago, like before a game? Like, I can see, yeah, Cub in there talking about like overcoming adversity, beating the guy in front of you, walking the walk, not talking the talk. I got it already written in my head, Cub. We got to do this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would love that. I think that would be amazing. I tell him, like, my record is 6-1 in fights where I've broken my hand. When I have a broken hand in the fight, I'm 6-1. And my only loss was to Holloway. Mm-hmm. And that's because I had a broken jaw and a broken hand. But but that's I did go three rounds with a broken jaw and a broken hand. So, I feel like a stat like that is tough enough for a football player, professional football player.
You should tell them, we don't make movies. We just win, baby.
Exactly.
Cub, this was great. Appreciate it. We got to have you on again when the season's going, when we start kicking ass and coming in the fall. Thanks for coming on, bud. And can't wait to see you fight in the spring.
Appreciate it, bud.
Appreciate it, guys. Have fun.
All right. So we are just 3 games left in the NFL season. NFC Championship. You've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady heading out to meet Aaron Rodgers in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field against the Packers. And then the afternoon game on Sunday, it is the surprise team of the season, Buffalo Bills, in their first AFC Championship game in 932 years, going against the defending champions, potentially the Patrick Mahomes-less Kansas City Chiefs. What do you see in this weekend, and who are we rooting for on Sunday?
I am conflicted because we know a mutual friend of ours, Brian, is a huge Bills fan. So yep. I would hate for the Bills to win just because I know how he is.
Because you're a terrible friend.
You know, what a fucking loudmouth he is.
Yeah. Although I got to respect him that when
that
we
was his team.
Bills, when he stuck with the Bills this whole time, right?
Yeah.
So he deserves his little ticker, you know, just getting as far as they did, right? Props to you. And he went with us. Was it a Monday night game or a Thursday night game? Three of us went to a Raider bar.
Well,
we
sure
were
did.
Playing the Bills when the Bills sucked and we were like 7-point favorites. And he went.
We shit the bed.
Bills won, but he wore his jersey. He took his lickings like a champ. He took the trash talking with a smile. Watched the game with a bunch of silver and black, getting Raiders chanted at him.
He loves it.
And he did his thing. So I credit where credit is due.
I will say this. They're not as big a surprise to me because I do talk a lot of Bills football because of him. I talk a lot of football with him. Even with or without Mahomes, I saw this, even with Mahomes 100%, I saw this being a really tough game. I mean, they beat the shit out of us. That game wasn't even as close as the final score turned out to be. I just think they have the right type of team to give them a little bit of issue. We'll see what Mahomes looks like. I'm never going to root for the Queefs ever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way I'm going to, you know, I'm pulling for the Bills in this one.
Do you just get Brian for his birthday every year, just like a folding table for him to dive onto?
I should have him unwrap it and then just push him onto it. Happy birthday, bitch.
We'll put him on like a loading dock or something. And like, I'll set it up on the bottom. We'll just push him onto it. So unbeknownst to him.
Yeah. The table's there and he opens up his present and says, look behind you. And then we push him.
Well, and we'll be gentlemen about it. We'll put like a nice bow on it, you know. We'll take him to the hospital when he concusses himself. A
little fake snow on top just to make him feel.
Exactly.
Feel at home.
And then obviously two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two of, you know, maybe the best to ever do it. And Tommy Tuck Rule taking on Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau. I mean, obviously, you know, Tom Brady, what he's capable of in the playoffs, no problem playing in the cold. He's got a good defense. But, I mean, they just squeaked by the Saints on the back of three turnovers in the divisional round. Like, are you going to bank on getting two interceptions and a fumble recovery and not giving up the ball once? Like, I don't know, man. I think a lot has to go the Bucs' way to be able to beat Aaron Rodgers, who's on fire.
Aaron Rodgers, to me, right now, is the most effective weapon against any type of defense. Mm-hmm. I have not seen him. And it's because of the running game. It's because of the running game that allows him to be as dynamic as he is. He's not good because he has a running game, but the offense is where it is now because they have so many options at running back.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays very, very well off of that. And, you know, we heard that he calls a lot of the plays himself.
Yeah.
And what was it, 55% of the plays come from him. He knows what he's doing out there. I mean, we always say all the time, oh, well, you know, everyone knows that we have Darren Waller in the red zone. You know, we have to have someone else. Well, everyone knows fucking Devontae Adams is going to get the goddamn ball, and he still gets it.
Yeah.
And it's just how he divides the plays. He fucking moves people around to different positions. He's the kind of guy that's not okay. This is a big spot in this game. We're down 10 in the third quarter. We need a fucking touchdown right here. We don't need a field goal. We need a touchdown. I'm going to make it happen. He goes down there and he makes it happen. Again, like you said, Tom Brady, not afraid of the cold. He's good with it. We have four cold weather quarterbacks. Not afraid of the, so I don't think weather's going to be an issue here. It's going to come down to like most playoff games are, is turnovers. Can, the Tampa Bay defense, who, I mean, shit, man, they're good defense. Are they going to be able to, you know, put pressure on Rodgers to make him turn the ball over? We'll see, man. I think it's going to be the Packers, though. I think it's going to be Packers and hopefully Packers Bills. That'd be sweet for me.
Yeah, those are some football people, Packers and Bills.
Because fuck Tommy Tuck Rule, little bitch ass.
See, that's unlike Phillip Rivers that you love to hate. I just hate to hate Tommy Tuck Rule.
I want to be indifferent because that's when you know you're over. Like, fuck them, whatever. Yeah. I don't care. No, I'm just not there yet.
Yeah. You know, maybe you'll heal. I'll be watching the games on a 16-hour flight back from Abu Dhabi. So we'll see if my little 7-inch screen will pick up some football. But that's a good 7 hours of football is a good way to kill half the time on a flight. All right. And then we'll next week, we'll have a new guest. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. And hopefully you can still breathe. After being so
come on, man.
Fingers crossed. You'll be fine. Relax. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me.
Whoa.
Preemptive. We forgot
something.
I put my knuckles up to start knocking. I can't holster them yet.
You forgot something. You know what time it is.
We know you know all about Gruden grinders.
Offensive linemen, defensive linemen, special teams players, backups.
But what do you know about Rory's grinders?
I think he's a great dude. I think he's got all the talent in the world.
You can't find me, I'll be the closest one on Grinder.
So my Rory's / Soto's grinder for the day is, we go in a time machine, 6-year-old Cub Swanson, the little killer, refusing to take off his Raider t-shirt at school.
Yes.
Gets sent home, says, fuck you, lady. I ain't taking this shit off. I'm fucking silver and black till I die. Not taking this shit off. Kick me out. Take me home. Send me home. That's an ass beating. When I was six, if I got sent home, that's an ass beating. He said, I'll take it for the silver and black. So 6 year old cub, you're the Rory slash Soto grinder for the day.
I can't wait to hear. I'm dead serious. Like, I'm going to have Cub Swanson in that Raider stadium, like with the UFC doing like a pre-fight hype up speech. Like, if you hear that story about him, getting sent home at 6 years old for wearing Raiders gear, and then the story of him being 6-1 with broken hands, you're telling me you're not going to overcome every possible adversity in that game? The Raiders are going to win by 100, whoever they play, after Cub Swanson gives him their speech. I'm telling you.
Turn the shirt inside out. What the fuck for?
Yeah.
It's a Tim Brown big head t-shirt.
I'm showing my colors. Out. I'm a 6-year-old gangbanging in the tough streets of Palm Springs. Oh, in your God face, damn. Lady. All right. Till next week. Knock on wood if you're with me. Thanks again for checking out the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. And if you like what you heard, we would ask you to go ahead and click that subscribe button, like us, comment, tell your friends, tell your parents, tell your kids, tell whoever likes Raiders that you can listen to the Autumn Windbags. Till next time. Later.